Hey everyone, I know it's been a long time, but I'm back at it with another podcast episode. So for this next season, I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to be bringing guests on. Occasionally, I'll maybe do a solo podcast, but for the time being, I want to bring on some people that I've met over the years and hopefully some new people. I think it's a lot more fun for me and it will allow me to be a little bit more consistent with these podcasts. I know a lot of people, they really enjoy them and it makes them feel not so alone. They resonate with the things I talk about, but it's hard to stay on a consistent schedule when it's just me talking, especially when I'm having to create content on the internet, run a business, and so many other things with life. And I think by bringing people on, it'll ease the process for me and it'll kind of paint a better story for people. I think it'll be more rewarding and bring more value, especially since it'll bring more perspectives in. And so, yeah, I'm excited for this next season. And the first person that I'm bringing on is my friend Simon. You might follow him on TikTok as Wholesome Simon or on Instagram as Keep It Wholesome or Keeping It Wholesome. I have his links in the description, but Simon makes very similar content to me, but in his own way. He has messaging that aligns with a lot of the things that I talk about, and I thought it'd be really fun to have a conversation with him and share our discussion with all of you, because I think it's important to learn from our mistakes and from our struggles in our life, because I think it can provide some insights for others. It's not like we have things figured out. We're still figuring things out, but the only way you learn is by having conversations with people and putting into words what you've experienced in the hopes that maybe you and other people can live a slightly better life, not make the same mistakes again. So this conversation, it's about making art, making content on the internet, the struggles of running a business, the the loneliness that sometimes happens when you're working too much, how to handle these things, how to stay inspired in your life, how to find your voice when you want to put art out there, but maybe you just don't know what to say. This conversation goes in a lot of different directions, but I think there's a lot of value there. So I'll leave it at that and I'll let you get into it. So I hope you enjoy. Just wanted to bring you on, Simon. Really excited too. Simon, he has a very popular TikTok, Instagram, YouTube channel, and podcast that I personally love. A lot of his messages resonate with a lot of the things that I'm talking about. I feel like sometimes I'll talk about something and then you'll talk about it after, or I'll talk about something after you do on social media. And I think It's so funny the way like energy floats throughout the world. And just you might affect people and not even realize it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, like, I know personally, I found Andrew, his account from just like the Instagram Explore page when I was looking for like cool new concepts and different things to, you know, I think that print behind you is like kind of the style I saw. And I was like, that's so cool. And like, just to,
from back in just the day.
Just to finally have a conversation and just talk. It was really cool. And I mean,
you were around back then for the clouds?
I remember the clouds specifically. I was like, this is so cool. And that's like, those were the posts that I saw. And I was like, that's so awesome. I mean, like, I met a lot of people through Instagram during that time because I was just like scrolling through, like seeing like what people are doing. And that's something I specifically remember, which is really funny. But it was those posts and those captions. I was like, that's so sick. And now we're here. I mean, we've been like following each other for a while too, without like ever talking to each other. So it's nice to you know, formally get to meet you and just have a conversation, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like it's always a slow burn. You know, we always think that like it takes hard time, like a long time to develop friendships online. Mm-hmm. You'll follow someone and then it'll slowly like percolate into something really cool, completely unexpectedly too.
Yeah, 100%. It's always fun. And like, I don't know, it's cool, especially to see other people in the same like industry and where you kind of like get each other and you understand like the unique struggles you have. And yeah, it's just fun. So awesome.
I know. I actually relate to a lot of the like struggles that you talk about in your podcast, especially with just like inspiration and feeling like down sometimes. I feel like it's a struggle every day when you're making content, especially when you're running a business too at the same time, which you are. It's hard to juggle the left and the right brain sometimes.
Yeah, totally. And I don't know. It's cool to be able to have those conversations to talk about those things. And yeah, you know, it's not the easiest, but like we talked about, there's nothing else you'd rather be doing. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all in good spirit.
Yeah. And in case people don't follow you, can you give like a description of what you make? Because for me personally, I see you as this really great videographer and kind of like a spoken word poet, but like in like prose in a way. I feel like for some reason, for me, the most poetic things is spoken in everyday language. There's something poetic just about living life in general. And that's what really made me resonate with your content. It's just you talking. And then there's music that I resonate to. I wouldn't call it like melancholy, but just stuff that really hits your heart in a way.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, how'd you come up with that style?
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, I've been creating content my whole life, and I had this TikTok account specifically. I remember it was like around early 2020 or late 2019, and this was beginning of TikTok. I made a bunch of trend videos, and I was experimenting with the platform, and I was like, this is kind of cool, but I want to do something meaningful. And at the time, there were two artists that like who mostly made videos. There's Montel Fish and Miles Carter, now Siobhan Benjamin. Montel Fish makes a lot of really awesome songs on TikTok. They're really big, but he was initially like a spoken word type of guy. And I took a lot of inspiration from them, like these really cinematic, you know, very short videos where you basically just talk about life, just simple observations you have with like you said, like a droning instrumental or something that I liked. And those videos like made me feel something. And I wanted to kind of recreate that, but bring it to TikTok. So, I mean, that's what I started doing. It was just like horizontal videos on TikTok, 1 minute long, a few clips, and just some like long instrumentals. And there were just, I wasn't thinking of it as poetry. I actually didn't think of it as like poetry till very recently. I never really thought of it as like spoken word or anything like that. It was just what I thought would be a nice message to get out there, like reasons to smile and, you know, things like that. And I think I needed to hear those things at the time. And I kind of found an outlet in the creative space there. And it was really fun. So we've just been working on this community. And, you know, now I work on YouTube videos and the podcast and everything. But I think there is that like medium of just like simple conversations and simple reminders for other people to hear that's kind of there. So, I mean, that's kind of like the summary of what I'm doing, what I've been doing. And it's been really fun. So just if I had to like categorize it, I would say like, yeah, like spoken word type of stuff. And just shorter videos focusing on a feeling. And that's kind of what I would say. There's no real super concise answer, but yeah, that's kind of the rundown, I guess. I don't know.
That's so cool because I resonate a lot with that, especially since you said you didn't consider it poetry in the beginning. And for me, my like community and audience, it grew from the art that I made, like the picture that I have in the background, but also too, I would write these captions and they were, I kind of turned them into poems. I never read poetry actually as a kid or really ever until probably I got onto Instagram. And I just like had something to say in a way, you know, and it just came out in this form that people thought was poetic. And I think some of the, you don't have to be a skilled craftsman in a particular, like let's even say music, for instance. I was listening to this really good composer, right? Very traditional classical music. His name was Joep Bevin. I've used him in a couple of my songs. His songs have trended on TikTok, but he was talking about how he really liked heavy metal music. And everyone was surprised, like, wow, why do you like heavy metal music? You're this classical musician. And he's like, it's completely different than the kind of music I make, where it's all about like technique and like formula, and that's the art form in a way. But with heavy metal and screamo music in particular, is actually what he was talking about, it's not necessarily about the technicality. There is technique to it, but it's just about having a message to say and just getting it out in whatever way you can. And there's something just so beautiful about somebody just expressing themselves through whatever they can at that moment. And I kind of relate to the way you talked about how you started making videos. You just had something to say, and you still do. And I feel like I'm that way too. Like, I'm not like technically the best at anything, but there's something that needs to be said.
Yeah, totally. Like, and it's weird because like the podcast that I do, I just like turn on the mic and I want to make it as unfiltered as possible. It's like, I go for like 30 minutes and I'm like, how am I doing this? Like, how is there still more to talk about, still more to say? And there always is. And it's just cool to be able to like put that out in the world and have people kind of resonate with it. But yeah, it's like raw. I'd say like not the most like polished raw art in general, like that screamo music. There's something about it that's like very like attractive in general, I would say.
Yeah, it reminds me of like a quote by Neil Gaiman, and he says, or he was talking about one of his favorite guitarists, Lou Reed, and someone from the Smashing Pumpkins. I forget who the guitarist was, but the quote was, "Style is the things you get wrong." And I was like, that's so beautiful in a way, because that's kind of what makes me resonate with like traditionally played music versus like computer made music. There's something about the imperfections that makes it human and that makes it resonate with me. And when it's too perfect, it just becomes like, I disconnect from it.
Yeah, dude, that's really interesting. Cause like, that's kind of like, as well as like some part of what we want to do with YouTube content moving forward is like, make the most authentic, like, documentation of your life. And I think people are getting more interested in that in the content space, like instead of these like highly polished, you know, extremely crazy idea videos that are like cutting really fast. Like, I think there's a lot of room for an audience for people who want the more, you know, unpolished, unfiltered kind of just like long scenes and of just a normal dude living life. And it's like that indie movie type of energy, I guess. I don't know, but like I see that on YouTube now, and I love it. It's like just an iPhone recording of someone going through their day, and it's like for some reason I love it, like just something super
100%
basic. Yeah, so there's something there.
I think there's something magical about recording on an iPhone. That's why I like TikTok personally, because you kind of get that more than on YouTube nowadays. YouTube seems very polished, and I'd love for you to send me some of those videos that you're talking about.
Yeah, totally. And like, that's what I have to constantly remind myself in the act of creation, is to like just focus on the feeling. Like, for some reason, these super basic videos make me feel something. I like them. And they're like basically made as a documentation. Like, these people aren't making videos for like millions of people, but that makes me feel something. So I want to kind of create something that makes someone else feel that way. And that's kind of like the basis of what I'm everything, you know, every creative thing now.
That brings up something that I was listening to on your podcast, actually. You were giving advice for somebody who wanted to make art or content on the internet, and who didn't think they were good enough yet to be posting. And you said something about how the person's taste is just better than their ability right now. And just to keep in mind that you'll get better over time. But the way you're talking about it now reminds me of like the way I feel when I first started, and even when I still make things. Like, I look back on my older stuff and I'm like, oh, I kind of cringe sometimes. Like, it's not like, you know, I could have done it better, X, Y, and Z. But like in the moment, I thought it was so good. Yeah. Like, I felt something and I really liked it.
Yeah.
And I think it's about finding that in the beginning, just making something that kind of gives you that feeling, because
excitement,
whether or not it's, yeah, you know, it excites you because whether or not it's objectively good by the critics, you're gonna be inspired to post it and to make it, and it's gonna get you to the next step, I think.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, it's like you have to be able to understand that you go into this project with so much excitement and drive, and sometimes what happens, at least for me, is like you finish it, you press post, and then you're like, oh, that wasn't that good, actually. Like, it's crazy how fast it flips. It's like you're so into something, and then all of a sudden you post it, and you're like, that was trash. But like, in that sense, like, okay, let's go to the next one. Let's try to get excited about another thing. It's just like a cycle, and that can get tiring. But like, eventually, like, you look back, like you said, you look back and you're like, dang, I was really excited about this. That's where I started this. And yeah, I wasn't at the point of creation that I am now, but like, it's so cool to be able to like see how you're slowly like, I don't know, like my last few YouTube videos, like, yeah, I've seen like that improvement slowly, and you know, I'm not there yet, but like, I'm really, it's kind of motivating to see in a way. So,
yeah. You know, what's funny, I was reading this book called 4,000, not 4,000 weeks. I forget what book I was reading actually. But it was talking about like, when you do something for like a goal, let's say, okay, I want to make X amount of dollars, or I want to get X amount of likes or views on social media. It's like, once you hit that goal, it doesn't give you that kind of like level of happiness or fulfillment that you thought it would. And then you're kind of just on to like the next video, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. And that's not really like fulfilling. And that's kind of what I was listening to what you were saying. And one thing that I totally switched with my, like mindset in terms of making art and putting stuff on the internet was not necessarily hoping for some kind of external goal where I'm trying to get a certain amount of likes or views, but instead getting better at the craft, because that's an infinite goal. That's a goal that you'll technically never be able to actually accomplish, because you can always get better at making videos, at writing, at making music. Mm-hmm. And so you never get to that point where you feel, what next, you know? Because, you know, you kind of like that infinite goal. You're always like on this journey in a way. And so that's really helped me actually a lot in terms of mental health for making content.
So how do you like measure that? How are you like your goal is to improve on, let's say, I'm not really sure in general what you're working on, but like, let's say like you're writing or something like that. Like, how do you, is there like a thing where you're like, okay, let me post something once a week and then look at that? Or like, how do you like track that kind of, because like you can track, let's say like the amount of subscribers you get or followers, but like, how do you quantify that? And maybe it's something you don't even quantify, but how do you like approach that mental space of being like, okay, what I'm actually focusing on is like the craft. Like, is there anything where you're like setting goals for the week? Or
when I'm, now that you're asking that question, because I haven't thought about that, but what I do, the one thing that I do that's kind of changed and which allowed me to change my mindset was by like studying beforehand, like putting effort into what makes better videos, what makes better writing. And so by being cognizant of, oh, you frame it this way, you put in like an introduction with like an anecdote, or you talk from your stomach instead of like your head when you're talking in front of the camera, you know, just trying to look up techniques in order to be a better craftsman kind of naturally instills that goal into me when I'm making art and content.
Yeah.
And so
I like that.
Yeah. You know, 'cause it's really helped me a lot. And especially when, because if you're posting stuff on social media, the engagement's not always going to be there. It's going to go down. You're going to want to focus on other things like your business. And you kind of have to be able to ride the wave. And the one thing that's helped me the most is by focusing on the craftsmanship.
You know what? That's something like I needed to hear in a way, because I feel like, here's the thing, like, I feel like a lot of the things I do now are just kind of unfortunately robotic in a way. It's just like, I wake up and I get things done to get them done, but this is all creativity. So it's like, maybe I should be taking a step back and like focusing more and and really working as hard as I can. I feel like in a way I got lazy because I'm like now working on the business and the YouTube videos, and like I'm looking back at TikTok and like maybe I could put in have more fun with that and like put forth more effort and kind of work on them harder than I have before. But I like that idea of like putting, I guess, like, and that's how you start, you know, you put in like so much work into this video or this idea, and you're just like over analyzing every detail. I feel like I went through the like highs and then the lows, and now I'm just like, I'm just gonna put out stuff to put out stuff. But it's good to like get a wake up call like that for sure. That's a good message.
And it's hard too, you know, especially in the beginning when you're running a business, because the stats, they do matter, you know, and I'm not saying that they don't at all. I'm always a big proponent of like every message I talk about, it's always about like yin and yang, you know, it's the balancing of like polar opposites, not zero or one. And so right now we might be talking about how, oh, you should have these infinite goals, but also like small goals are important too. So I always like to keep that in mind, to try to be a well-balanced person and artist and everything in between.
What are some like, do you have any like specific goals? Do you set goals for like the month, or do you set goals for like a year? Or like how do you go about that?
Yeah, that was actually a question that I wanted to ask you too, because personally for me, so it's changed. Before, let's say 2 years ago, especially when I started Pool House, I like always had a problem with plans and like 5-year projections, because my life has changed so much. 2 years ago, I had no idea I'd be where I am now. A year ago, I couldn't even imagine where I'd be now. So I figured, what's the point? Like, if things are gonna change, and also they're gonna change in ways, better ways than I ever anticipated, what's the point of having a plan? But then as I got older, I realized, just like we talked about earlier, it's not this or that. There is, even though your trajectory is going to change, where you end up is going to be in a place you never expected, most likely, it's still good to have some kind of sense of direction, even if the wind blows you in a different way, because otherwise you might just go around in circles. At least for me, that's kind of, for the first 2 years of Pool House, I didn't have a good, good way to like figure out how to turn it into a business. But maybe I kind of needed that though too, you know, needed to test a bunch of things. And like, this is another thing that I think is important. All these things that we're talking about, we're saying that they're so obvious, but sometimes the most obvious things are like buried so deep inside us, and we really need to make mistakes, and we really need to go through the trenches to understand it for ourselves.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, like on that note, it's like if you had a goal where you're like, I'm going to build Pool House into this business and we have a year to do that, like blah, blah, blah. It's like some of the, you'd sacrifice, you know, some of like what got you to this point, and like you'd have to, it wouldn't have been as like, your creativity wouldn't have flown as easily, and like you wouldn't have made all these. So it's almost like it kind of has to be in that way, where you're just constantly kind of like, okay, like let's recenter, like what's next? Okay, let's do this. Just have like the broad goal, like you said, and then just kind of go in that direction.
Did you have a plan for Keep It Wholesome in the beginning? You wanted to turn it into a clothing brand?
I think the first year I did Keep It Wholesome, I had these like insanely ambitious goals. Like I was like, and they were all like, the way I'd set goals is like, they're number based, right? It was like 200,000 on TikTok or something. And I was like, and it was at that point where I was like, that was like the chapter in my life where I was like super, I think the beginning of Keep It Wholesome was kind of like the end of this point in my life where I was like productivity guru, man, like YouTube, like cold shower, man. And I feel like everyone kind of goes through that point and then levels out. But like, that was me. And I was like setting all these goals and going crazy and working really hard. And I went through this whole arc where I looked back at the end of the year, the first year of Keep It Wholesome, and I was like, cool, like we accomplished these things. Then the second year happens. I set some more goals. I didn't really follow them that tightly. Second year happens, and that was like the year where like things didn't go as well. Things didn't grow as much. And that's when I came back to the goals at the end of the year. I'm like, dang, like I didn't really accomplish a lot of these goals. And the thing is, like, it's so dangerous because as soon as you see that, you just like throw everything you've accomplished in that year out the window. You're just like, these, you know what I mean? Like, my life went in so many different directions. I met so many amazing people, made so many great friends, and there's so much value in that. And like, I grew so much as a person overall. But like, as soon as I saw those goals and not hitting them, I was like, mentally, I just threw those things out the window. And I think that was like a dangerous point. And that's kind of where I learned that, like, hey, I'm not going to set many goals except for things that are kind of like not numbers based, more like where I want to see the brand. So like, I want to build a team and get an intern and get people to help. And I just think that'll be so fun to like take, keep it wholesome, like team trips. I don't even care like what else there is, like to take a trip to, you know, somewhere and do a retreat with like people that are helping build this business and this brand would be so fun, and to meet up with more people and make more friends. So they're all broad goals like that now that I set. And it's stuff that I think of not that regularly anymore. It's mostly just like, okay, what am I going to do today in that direction? I'll just kind of think of something. So I like went through like the super hardcore phase, and now I'm kind of just mellowed out, and I'm happier because I'm more mellow, you know, like I'm just enjoying my life and living a little more. So that's kind of like how my system has been going, at least for like the past year and a half or so, or past like half a year ish.
It's so funny. I feel like we got to the same place from like different ends. You know, it's like, oh, you're saying that you're a little bit more plan oriented and I wasn't, but now we're coming more to like this middle ground. I think it's so funny. It's like, there's so many ways to get to like certain truths. Like, especially with like philosophy or all these things, I feel like a lot of people, they just say things in different, or they get to certain points just in through different reasonings, you know, whether it's Christianity or like Judaism, all these different like philosophies, they all kind of say the same thing, just like in different ways. And I think that's so fascinating, which means like there is basic truths in life.
Yeah. Like, I'm not a super philosophy buff or anything, but like I went on this trip to Hawaii and I was like asking people like, are you an optimist or like nihilist and things like that. And it's like everyone, even though you could say you're like an optimist or you're a nihilist, which are two opposite things, like they all came to the same conclusion somehow. It's like nothing matters, so everything matters, or like, you know, like everything matters. It's just like, dang, like, and I think that's part of like what I learned from that trip as well. Like, everyone's the same. Like, it's so cool to see, and like people are more like-minded than you think. But it's just funny that you bring that up, because like I was asking people, are you a nihilist? And they're like, yeah, I'm a nihilist, but also like because nothing matters, like I think like there's no bigger picture, but these small moments you have with people matter and things like that, it makes it more important. And it's like these people came to the same conclusion, and it's cool, it's funny.
It really is so true. We all are so much more more similar than we think, and you can get to so many different points. Have you been traveling a lot though, and like meeting people? I feel like I haven't traveled in so long.
Yeah. So what happened is like, I took my gap year and I'm like, okay, we're going to travel. We're going to meet up with these people online, because like, my thought was like, everyone's going back to college. I am taking a gap year. I'm not going back to college. This kind of sucks. Like, I'm seeing all my friends like have the time of their lives, and I'm just sitting here in my room making videos. I'm like, what am I doing really? So luckily enough, I had met these people online. We went on to Montana for a month and I got really close with them, and now they're like lifelong friends. Like, even if I quit all my, I think that's what the cool thing is too. Like, even if I threw out all the creative stuff I'm doing, quit tomorrow, like I'd still be lifelong friends with these people I met online. And that was really awesome to meet them. And then I came back home for a bit. Then I traveled to Hawaii to meet up with the first ever order from our website 2 years ago. She was really cool, and like we had a good conversation. And yeah, I'm just trying to travel more where I can and do a lot during this gap year, because obviously like when I go back to school, it's going to be a bit harder to travel or have more freedom. And I feel like I've gotten a little comfortable with just like, you know, not realizing that I have to go back to school in a bit, and like it's going to get more complicated. So I've been doing a lot of traveling.
Have you been, has it given you like FOMO, I guess, because seeing your friends who are still in college while you're making the things that you want to do, like you personally probably really enjoy making videos and making content on the internet, running your business. These are all things that I love to do. But sometimes it's hard when you see everyone's like being happy while you're working away.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see, like, do you feel FOMO in instances with what you're doing? Or do you, like, are you fully just, like, loving what you're doing and not thinking about other people? Or, like, where's your mindset? I want to ask you that as well.
See, like, I don't have FOMO for, like, any of my friends when I see them out and about necessarily, because yeah. I do genuinely enjoy what I'm doing. Like, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And I cherish mm-hmm. this more than going out late at night and partying and drinking and all that yeah. stuff. I actually don't drink anymore because I just, it's just like not worth it to me to be hungover, and I'd rather be able to like make art and wake
yeah,
up,
yeah.
you know, and just like enjoy the more like the little things in life. But the one thing is that I'm at this crossroad where I want different outlets in my life, you know? I don't want to go out like late drinking, partying with friends anymore. I'd rather, okay, let's go to like a yoga class or let's go on a hike. And it's about finding people who are into those things that I'm now into now. So that's what I'm feel like I'm missing right now. I'm slowly developing those relationships, and it takes time, and it's hard not to fall into old patterns when you have these cravings for new social interactions, I guess. And I'm just trying to be patient, I guess, with the process, putting myself out there. I signed up for yoga classes and like Pilates Let's classes. Go. And so, yeah, I'm getting really into the community that I live in for that stuff. And it's been nice. And that's how I'm handling it right now.
Yeah, I think like I resonate with that in the sense that like I feel like at the beginning of the gap year, like I was like, I mean, all my life I've always been a kid that's really tried to fit in. Like growing up, very little diversity in my school. Like my town's like 98% white. I'm like one of the only Asian kids. And I think like when I trace back why I felt this way during the gap year and why I feel so inclined to feel like I'm missing out, it's because of that. I think like growing up like that and like wanting to fit in so bad. But everything good in my life has been because I've just embraced my identity and the things I'm doing that are different. So I think I weathered the storm. And it takes time, of course, but I traveled a lot, I think the coolest thing, like you said, like in a way, your community there, like going to yoga classes, going on hikes and things like that, is the same thing as like finding community online for me and like meeting up with these people and having that. And that really helped me out a lot. And in time, I became very comfortable with my own path and what I'm doing. And I think it's because I was pushed to that extent of like really like having to figure out what I'm doing, and like all my friends are doing something different, that I had to jump. And now I feel really content doing my own thing. Like you said, like I resonate with that. Like I don't want to really go out or, you know, party or anything like that, which is like typically what, you know, I guess I should be doing as a kid, and like being social and meeting friends and stuff. And, you know, not saying that's a bad thing at all, because that's a great way to have fun, make memories, meet friends. But like right now I'm just like so like focused on like making videos and yeah. meeting people and going on adventures. And that's kind of like where everything lies. So not feeling a lot of FOMO, but the beginning was hard. The beginning was definitely hard.
Yeah, no, it definitely is in the beginning. But like, what amazes me too is like how young you are and how much you figured out already. Like I was completely had no sense of like direction or any kind of like, I don't know. I'm amazed when I hear you say these things and realize how young you are.
I mean, like, I wouldn't say I have anything figured out at all, but like,
no, it's always a process.
Yeah, it's always a problem. But I mean, I think like I've just been very lucky to be able to meet people online and just meet like-minded people and communities. I think that's been so helpful just to like make me feel like I'm not alone in what I'm doing. And like even like these conversations we're having, like meeting each other, like that's so like cool, like that you're doing creative stuff, I'm doing creative stuff, and we both have this like mutual understanding, you know, like there's this like every conversation we have is like built upon like five pre-existing layers that like would take so long to explain to someone else, but like since we've kind of been through that process, like it's definitely helpful, you know. And you know, I've gone through like the tough periods of like running a brand and the numbers getting to your head. I feel like it's weird because I feel like in a way I'm like a old like grandpa TikTok guy. Like I've been doing this for 2 years. Like I've been through like this ups and downs, explosive growth, and then the fall off, and then like the mental stress. I'm just like tired of it, man. So I just put out stuff I like and hope it sticks every once in a while now.
That's so funny. I feel the same way about Instagram. I feel so I feel like I've been through the ringer, but it's so good though, because like there's so many mistakes that I made on Instagram that I'm trying not to make on TikTok, especially with in terms of making content and just doing it for the numbers. Because in the beginning, I was just focused on the follower, the like count. I was making stuff that I liked, but it wasn't going anywhere. And I was so scared of trying new formats because I was worried that that engagement would drop. And I was worried to put time into running my business, like to put more time into running my business. And as I've gotten older, I realized your social media, it has to, it can't just be like a thing in itself, you know? Otherwise, you're constantly going to be chasing those numbers. There has to be some kind of other thing. It has to like embolden your, let's say, podcast, your music, your writing, your brand possibly. There has to be some kind of thing that it's empowering, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally, and this is what I talk to people like, what would you say to someone who wants to start something or advice for that? And it's I know exactly what you're saying, like this underlying thing. It's not tangible, but it's this feeling across every platform that you kind of like get when you watch someone's videos. But I think it's so important to do these like things that don't return on the numbers. Like the podcast for me, it's not like a growth thing. It's not like I'm not making any money off of it. It's just fun for me. And we have like compared to like making a TikTok video, like obviously like making a video would be a better investment of a time, quote unquote, numbers wise. But like to have this amount of people, and it might be a small amount of people, listen to what you're saying, like sitting there listening to what you're saying for like 20, 30 minutes, like they are giving you 20 to 30 minutes of their time to just listen to you. And that's so amazing. And like, I feel like content that works in the long term is content that speaks to like the 2% of people that listen to the entire podcast, or like it counts for like the 10 people who watch your entire video. It's like, that's what matters. And it's so hard to, or it's so easy to lose sight of that. But that's kind of what I came up with there with the podcast.
It's especially easy to like lose track of that when you haven't been spending 2 years, you know, on it. Because in the beginning, that's the mistake I see so many people make, where it's like these trending 7-second videos, or even on Instagram in the beginning, where it would just be like a couple words on a photo and, you know, like a 3-second interaction with someone, right? I'm like, that doesn't develop any connection with someone. They're going to, maybe they'll like it, but they'll just move on their day. Did it really move the needle for anyone? Is it actually going to have a real impact on their day? And those are the things that matter. And if there isn't some kind of deeper connection that's happening between you and somebody else on social media, I just don't see, or unless you're becoming a better craftsman in a way, I don't see the point in wasting your time sometimes you need to waste your time in that way to realize you're wasting your time. But now that I realize that's a waste of time, I don't want to be spending my time that way.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. It's like, that's kind of like what I came into TikTok thinking. Like, I had this account that did trends and it was dumb. And I was like, I want to do something that actually impacts people and matters. And
yeah,
that's kind of what I came up with, like these long videos that aren't algorithm friendly at all, but people like them, and a small group of people that like them really boosted them to more people. And yeah, I mean, like you said, like maybe sometimes you have to make that because also not everyone's, and it depends on like what your goal is. Like if your goal is just to make like funny videos and like make people laugh, or just like make something short and just like, you know, not build anything after that, like that's probably what most content is, right? But mm-hmm. if you're like listening to this podcast, you might be like interested, I'm sure, like it's a subsection of a niche that's like interested in like being creatives and doing that stuff. And I guess that's, in that case, you want to think about like you said, moving the needle or creating stuff that actually like has an impact and someone can feel. And it's that feeling that is like, I'd attribute that to like Keep It Wholesome success, is just like just the feeling that it gives you is mm-hmm. is moving the needle, the way you said that. I like that.
Yeah. How did you find your voice in a way? Because I think a lot of people, they just like don't know what to say in the beginning. One quote that comes to my mind is, it's from Neil Gaiman. I might have quoted him before in this podcast, but he said, "You only find your voice after sounding like other people first." And I think that's such a beautiful, it's such a beautiful line. When I think about my writing or like videos in the beginning, like any new medium, it's always, I need to like look for inspiration out there. And then I kind of try to like reverse engineer how people make or write things. And I'll do that a couple times for a good amount mm-hmm. of time. And then eventually I'll like forget about those people and I'll kind of just like fall into like my own rhythm. But it really is important to find those modicum or examples and to like mix and match them.
Yeah, that's basically like how it started, like emulating. And because this is like a big point of my inspiration, I guess, like from these interviews of these like creatives. So I was listening to an interview with Rick Rubin, Pharrell Williams. They don't make videos. They make music. Obviously, they're legendary producers. But like one thing Pharrell said is like his job is to like be in a hotel, hear something and be like, that's so cool. That made me feel something. Or be like somewhere out in public or just like take in this information and be like, that made me feel this way. Like now it is my job. I'm getting paid to take that feeling, create something that makes someone else feel that way. And that's exactly what a lot of stuff probably starts as. Like with watching the Montel Fish, I'm like, this is so beautiful. This like, I love how this makes me feel. I want to create my own version of this mm-hmm. and make other people feel this way. And I took inspiration from Montel Fish and just looked around. And I'm lucky to say like, my points of inspiration, some of them have become like really good friends of mine. So like Aiden or Valspire Family or like Natalie Hakes, like I started a lot of this like inspired by what they were doing and just kind of threw in little bits and pieces. And like you said, like eventually you forget about, you know, where you start to create this own thing, your own thing. And the only way, like you shouldn't be too worried about finding your voice, just keep producing something and just keep making something and eventually you'll kind of just forget. Like you said, like that's totally accurate to how I found my quote unquote voice. And I'm still like looking for it. Like on YouTube, it's a lot more difficult. I feel like I haven't found it yet. But you just got to keep creating things. And eventually like it's the small things. Like in my last YouTube video, I had this point where I just felt like adding some text and explaining how there are studies done, that meeting up with strangers and befriending strangers like increases levels of happiness or something like that by the Atlantic. And I put that over a clip of me and these strangers talking that became friends. And I was like, but now we're friends. And I'm like, that is so cool. I like how that made me feel. So this tiny 2-second clip in my last video, I'm going to apply it to my next video and make that like more of a main focus. And maybe that a style comes out of that. And I feel like that's how styles are birthed. But it's just like, you won't get to that point if you don't like create a lot of stuff. So that's kind of how I'm slowly finding my voice still, but like getting an aura.
And how do you manage, I guess, when like people's expectations and what like resonates with your community and stuff that you want to do? Because it's hard when, let's say, you make a video or you post something on social media and it does well, but maybe you don't want to do that anymore. The worst thing I heard is to go viral for something that you don't enjoy doing, because then you're going to be pressured into like keep doing that. So I'm interested, how do you handle the balance between making things that you're interested in, which I'm assuming evolves? You know, we're always changing, our interests are changing, and that means the stuff you want to make is probably going to change.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, like going by, I've seen it a lot. Like, it's tough to see, but like, since I've been on TikTok for 2 years, like we had this like little community of people I knew and befriended, but like the majority of them just had to quit and like burnt out. And it's because of that rabbit holing effect of like, you're doing this one thing, you make this one video, it goes viral, it does well, and now you have to make more of that thing. And it's fun for a bit, but all of a sudden it gets really tiring and you try to create something else, but it doesn't get as many views. And I think what I did is, first of all, I paced myself. So I mean, I'm saying this, I know I can speak on this because I went through this whole like creator evolutionary phase where you have the highs and the lows. And like I said, I'm more like balanced out now, but like I went through that of like creating the Reason to Smile video. And every time I made a Reason to Smile video, it did really well. But I don't really want to do that all the time, right? I want to make different like things. I wanted to make vlogs for a while, so I just tried them in. I think something that's helped me for sure is like launching the YouTube channel, the podcast. Those are things I want to do. And if I'm ever not feeling like making a TikTok, I'll just try to come up with a YouTube video idea or like find this other outlet, right? And I think just in general, it's just pacing yourself and just taking some time to like allow new inspiration to flow in, to go for a walk and allow like nature to give you some ideas, to listen to some music. And I think those are like the grind points in the content creator lifespan where you're just creating. It's like you're slowly just, it's like you're this is a terrible example, but you're like a apple, right? And you're trying to get apple juice, but like you have to like get another apple. You can't just like keep grinding the same apple and trying to squeeze more like creative stuff out of that. Like it's not going to work. So I think what helped me is just I had tough times. I took months off of TikTok. I took, you know, 2 weeks at a time not posting. And that's what helped me like survive to this point, I think, and working on business and other things that can creatively fulfill me. That's how I kind of like got over it, but it's definitely hard, especially when it's like your living is tied to this, then it gets really complicated. That's like level two, where it's like you don't want to post, but you have to, because you have to make money to put food on the table. And that's like a whole nother conversation, but as long as like you can pace yourself, I found it's pretty manageable.
Yeah. And it's like what I'm hearing like from you now too, it's also hard just to juggle so many projects, and it comes to a certain point where you have to decide where are you going to focus your energy on, because if you spread yourself too thin, yeah, you're bound to get burnt out. I did, and that's why I like had to put my like newsletter and blog and podcast on hold for a while, because I was trying to like get better at making videos on TikTok, because I just found something really just magical about that medium. And then at the same time, I like didn't want to just go completely zero on Instagram. I wanted to keep connected with my community. But, you know, it's hard to let go sometimes and to focus on other things. But it's important. And I was reading this one book about, it's called like 4,000 Weeks. Okay. And it's like this book on like anti-productivity by Oliver Berkman. And he was talking about how like the more emails you answer, the more emails you get. And it's like the more productive you try to be, like the less time you theoretically have. And I'm like, yeah. I feel that way like so often. And when I started to focus on a select few of things instead of spreading myself so thin, that's when, you know, the inspiration started to become more consistent. I wasn't burnt out as much, but it's hard. it's definitely not easy.
Yeah, and I think I'm at that point now where I'm still struggling with that, definitely. Like, I was thinking about that today. I'm like, well, I woke up this morning super early. I got like two podcast clip TikToks done, another TikTok done, and like it's like I ate breakfast and now I'm like got a YouTube video up, and it's like, but am I taking like, it's like knowing when to walk away is like so difficult, and I'm still learning that. I'm still trying to get more help, but that's like, honestly, that's my biggest fear right now, is like that I will go spend the next few months just juggling all these different things and still not being able to do one super, super well. And I've only done this to myself, but like, that's my biggest fear. I won't lie. And it's in a way, like I wake up and I end the day and I'm like, whew, I feel good. I got a lot done, but it's, I have that doubt in my head. Like, did I get a lot done? Like, am I really going forward? Or like you said, am I going in a circle just doing the same thing? So that's something I'm definitely trying to work on. It's like, you have to constantly be improving and finding new inspiration. But if you have too much, you're not going to be worried about that. You're just going to put it out. And so I think in the next month or so, I'm probably going to take more of a big break from TikTok and just full on focus on the brand and focus on YouTube videos and the podcast on the side, and just kind of, I came to that conclusion. Yeah. And it's so hard. It's so hard.
It's hard.
A lot of self-doubt, but yeah, it's important to prioritize for sure.
Yeah. And that's where like the plans come in, you know, to have some kind of trajectory for your life, because otherwise it will seem like you're going in circles. If you're just doing social media, just to do social media, just to like get famous, it's gonna drive you crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's it's just like, it's an accelerant. Like, social media is just an accelerant to like your happiness, your sadness, or everything, whatever it is. Like, it'll just speed things up, and that's scary because we're not meant to go that fast, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And it's hard to be under so many eyeballs, and then to get so many like comments or like messages. It can get like overwhelming, because I read something where you can really only have like relationship with like 150 people. I'm probably like totally botching the number, but there's only so many people like our minds can theoretically like even like imagine and keep in check. And social media just kind of throws that on its head.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard that too. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, there are hundreds, thousands of people just like paying attention to what you're doing, and like, that's obviously like gonna have some
sort
of effect.
How do you handle that?
I honestly, I don't know. I everything I've always done and created has been without the assumption of an audience, I would say. I mean, I went through like the classic like dark period of any creator where like I was doing things like that and getting rabbit holed into algorithm. But now I find peace in the fact that like I'm just trying to make people feel something. I'm not too worried about like how many eyes are on it. And I think I went through a whole year of like losing followers on every platform essentially except for YouTube.
Same.
And like, yeah, and that made me like become numb to it, and just like I went through like the stress and the anxiety, and now I'm just like, I don't care.
It's kind of good in a way.
Yeah, it's good. It's like you're desensitized to it in a way, which like doesn't sound great, but like it's good because I don't look at that follower count every day and worry. Like, I'm like, whatever.
Because then you're more focused on like things that matter, you know, like your craftsmanship or your business. At least for me, that's what happened. My Instagram has just like decreased so much over the past year, ever since I focused on the business and getting more into TikTok. And that was really hard at first, but now I'm kind of, like you said, like numb to it and so much stronger because of it.
Yeah. It's tough. It's definitely tough. I think that's where a lot of people like definitely quit doing stuff, because it's like very hard, you know? It's a battle, but I think like having friends who do the same thing through it, and just like having people you can call that are kind of like know the space is nice. And you feel more secure when you're like doing collaborative things, and
yeah,
it's a little, it blunts the blow definitely.
And you know what's so funny too? It's like the struggles, bloom like the most beautiful flowers, especially, okay, we're talking about our struggles right now and it's deepening our friendship. You know, it's like, and there's probably lessons that you learned from, oh, losing all the followers. And now you've become like less like engaged with the numbers or less like, you know, self-critical about the numbers. Yeah. So there was beauty that came from that. And I think that's so, so cool and so magical that, and something important to keep in mind when you're struggling and you're going through the hard times, there's going to be something good that comes from it. Maybe not what you expected, but there a flower will bloom from the dirt.
Yeah. And like I always tell people this, like the only way you can't guarantee anything, right? The only way you can guarantee something good's gonna happen is you just keep trying. Like that is the only way you can guarantee that this thing is gonna, like the I was thinking about this the other day, and like the most successful people I know who like have done well on YouTube or TikTok or like businesses and whatnot, just in any facet of life. They're just better at not giving up than everyone else. They're not smarter or anything. They just like, they're better at just not giving up. And that is so hard. And it's so like cliche, but it's cliche for a reason. Like, they're not the smartest people I know. They're not the, you know, most like the only reason why they've been able to be successful is they're better at not giving up. And like, I feel like the only point at which you fail is like the point at which you give up, because I just think of my life as like a storyline, and like we're in, you know, like it might be a dip, but like, you know, I'm going to do everything in my power to get back up to just focus on the art, focus on the community, and try to get back up to that, like, you know, happier time or, you know, grow this thing a little more. I don't know.
I'm curious, how do you keep going? Because when I think about myself, there's only so much like crap you can handle. There's only so much like rejection a human being can like withstand. And eventually you kind of have to, there has to be some kind of like sun that rises. There has to be some kind of, you know, spark in your life that inspires you to keep going. But how do you get that, you know? And for me, just like as like a thinking point is like my malleability, especially as an artist, as a creator. It's like being open to trying different things and not being tunnel visioned, like, oh, it's just the algorithm. Like, oh, you know, people, they just like don't like me anymore. Or, you know, instead of like being so self-critical or putting the blame on somebody else, just being open to, okay, maybe trying videos, maybe, you know, trying something new.
Yeah. What was the initial question? Yeah.
Like, how do you keep going, basically? Because you said the most important thing is just keeping at it. Like, everyone that you've seen who's successful in this space on the internet are just people who just didn't stop.
Honestly, it's like, I think I don't have a great answer for that yet, because I don't know necessarily. Like, I'll be honest with you, I don't have like an exact like sentence or like group of words that would like be like, this is why I keep going. And you know, there are a few different reasons, but it's like it's a collaboration between those. One thing is like definitely like being able to pace myself, and like with this new schedule I'm on, like it's getting late. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling a bit tired. I'm just gonna go to sleep and do this tomorrow morning and do it better tomorrow morning. Just small things like that, where you give yourself the benefit of the doubt, have helped. There are a few things that happened recently, like meeting the people in our community in Hawaii was like crazy transformative for me. And like in the back, like these are letters from my PO box over the past 2 years, and that's like stuff like that. Like, and it's things like that that are just like, wow, you know, like those things like really genuinely keep me going. And like, I'll be honest, like I get a lot of DMs from people, like, and I'm almost like desensitized to it in a way, which sounds really bad, but like I get a lot of DMs from people saying like how much Keep It Wholesome means to them. But in a way I'm like desensitized to them in a way. So I've been like trying to do more things in the physical world. It's like maybe print out those messages, hang them up and do things like that. I feel like that's really kept me going. And yeah, like I hang up all my pictures from my adventures and things like that, that really helps. But there's no real like simple answer to that, because you know, that's the only thing that I've seen within these people. I just don't know how everyone is consistently just keeps going. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is like these conversations, like talking to other people who do the same thing you do and like not feeling alone in that. But yeah, I mean, if I knew, that'd be nice, because sometimes I'm like, I just want to give up on this stuff, but I don't really know what that is that like gets me up and the next day and it's like, okay, let's do this again.
I have those days too where I feel like I want to give up, but I couldn't imagine doing anything else, you know, because I know what it is to be in the corporate world. I know what it is to like work for someone else and like not be making art. And I wouldn't want that life, you know, and I couldn't imagine myself doing anything besides what I'm already doing. So yeah. In a way, it's like choice architecture, you know, there is no real other choice answer.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that's like rock bottom is like, would I rather be doing anything else in this world? No.
Yeah.
And come back to that like gratitude of just like, holy crap, like this is what we've been doing. This is what we're doing. This is what I'm doing. And like, this is real and we can make this work. And then it starts building and it's momentum based. But like, yeah, I mean, I know for a fact that I'll always be creating something. And like, if I quit tomorrow, like it'd take me like a week, like after like 2 years of like nonstop work, it'll take me like a week to get back and be like, okay, let's do something again. Like, let's start something up again. And I'm sure you're the same way. It's just like, it's like, this is part of like how I interpret the world and live, is like through creating things. So there is no choice, I guess. Yeah. There's no option.
Do you have, when you went into school, did you do art in high school? Did you go in with the intention of creating things in college? Like, I know you said you were studying economics, I think, on your podcast or
business. Same thing. Pretty similar.
And so did you always have the inclination that you wanted to be an artist, or was that, something that you just discovered in the past 2 years?
Yeah. I mean, growing up, like, I say this like because like people can look at Keep It Wholesome and the brand and be like, whoa, this happened so fast. But it's like really like the story of like my entire life almost. Like growing up, like I love making Minecraft YouTube videos, making videos with my friends. I have them all like on other channels. I made like Madden Mobile YouTube videos for a while. And like I love making videos and creating art, and business would just kind of stem off of that. So I always see business as a smaller like portion of who I am. But yeah, throughout my entire life, I loved writing as like a really young kid. I'd always be like, I'm going to write a book, and just like open Word and like start writing things. I guess like I never noticed that. I'm not great at like visual art. So like
your writing is really good, by the way.
Appreciate it.
Like on your captions, I got inspired, when you started writing long captions start writing long captions. I'm just gonna make that point clear.
No way, that's awesome. Yeah, that was a fun thing. I have to get back to that, but like, yeah, that was I don't know, I've always loved like writing and speaking and making videos, so it's always been there, you know. Like I was able to edit, I edited for some like gaming YouTubers like along the line when I was like a freshman, and like and when I think about my life, like there have only been a few years where I like really didn't do anything creative, which was like my junior year of high school when I was like grinding to get into college. And that was like a low point for me because I didn't have an outlet, mm-hmm. or like eighth grade, seventh grade, something like that, where I like wasn't like working on anything creative. But there have been very few years. So I always knew, and I told myself this. So this is like I guess I don't think I've told you this, but this is like the long version of the Keep It Wholesome story. Where I had like a YouTube channel, I had a business freshman and sophomore year of high school. Then junior year came around, just focused on studies, and I was really just struggling. And I told myself, like, the next big thing that grows and blows up or whatever it is, I'm gonna go all in on it. I thought it'd be like Fortnite. I thought it'd be like a gaming thing. So I was like, I'm gonna make a gaming YouTube channel, I'll be a gamer. But it was TikTok. And that's why I literally, as soon as I saw TikTok, I was like, holy crap, I have to jump on this. So it was like 2019. Start making stupid trend videos. I'm like, this is dumb. Let me make something that's actually meaningful, and made the Wholesome Simon account, and just went from there. And like, I told myself that, like, and it's so weird to think about, like, I was like, like, when I graduate and go to college, it's the end of the world. I can no longer do this creative stuff, which is like, obviously not true, but like, that's like the crunch that my mind was on. So when TikTok happened, I was just like really like working hard, and I blocked out all the noise. I was like, this has to be the opportunity. And I don't know. I just got really lucky with the timing. I was ready, and I always knew I wanted to do something like that. And that's kind of, you know, how I got to this point was just a stroke of luck and following my interests.
That's really cool. It's really cool. So did you make videos? You're saying you made video, video game videos. Did you make stuff scored to like music with like you talking? Like, cause I know you're really into music. So I'm curious how that interest formed. Like for me, it was like making skate videos in high school and like scoring that to music. And that's kind of why I fell in love with TikTok was because, oh yeah, it's giving me that same kind of feeling that I had as a kid. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I did anything like similar to what I'm doing now. I think I just got interested into it in some. I've always been like pretty like emotional, I would say, just as like a person, you know, I'm not super like
sad
manly
boy.
Man. Yeah, I'm a sad boy. Like I've always been like that. Like I love sad songs and everything. Like
I always relate to that too.
Yeah. So it's just been natural, like for me to kind of like make more mellow stuff and like kind of write about that stuff, right? So. Just when I stumbled upon more of those videos on YouTube, I was like, I want to make something like this in the future. And this opportunity came along and I decided it feels like the thing is like looking back on them, like, how did I have that much energy to like go do make all this stuff in the past year? Past 2 years, I'm just thinking about it. But like I was really energized, excited to create something. And I just kept going. And yeah, I don't think I never like made anything like I do now back then. But I was always like kind of interested in spoken word. There are a few like pieces by, I'll send them to you after the podcast. They're really amazing and they've always inspired me. But I was never like super into it, I would say. What about you though? Like where's your writing interest? I mean, like, I'm curious about that. Cause you went from corporate to like, you know?
Yeah. So the corporate lawyer went and said, you know, it's the funny thing. Like I actually never read as a kid. I never liked it. Wow. And as a lawyer, I only read like nonfiction. I didn't find the value in like stories about people that never existed. I was like, this isn't practical. And then when I quit law, I really fell in love with fiction and just storytelling. And I just really became a really like voracious reader. Just, I probably read at least 30 minutes to like an hour, every day. Cause it's like the one thing talking about like mental health and getting just like centering myself. There's nothing better than reading a book for me. I don't know. It distresses me reading like a physical book, not like in an iPad because that's like connected to social media. There's something incredibly therapeutic about it. And it happened so serendipitously too, because I was making this art on Instagram, these like illustrations. And I wrote like this one caption. I think I was inspired by like, honestly, some like sad boy song that was like popular at the time. And like, I wrote some caption inspired from that. And everyone just like really loved the caption. And they're like, oh, please write more. I was like, okay, I'll continue writing more. And then I started falling in love more with the medium of writing. And yeah, it's kind of hard to pinpoint how I got into it. It kind of was a slow burn, but now it's a pretty big burn.
Yeah, that's so, I mean, that's crazy that like that leap and like how I think the reading point and like the meditation of it all is like really important. Cause like something I thought about is like, and this like scared me in a way, cause I thought about this about my own life. I was like, how often do you get, like you said, you read 30 minutes to an hour. How often do you get like 30 minutes of an entire day, 24 hours of just like not engaging in anything stimulating, just like, and it doesn't have to be a book, just like laying on the, and this is what I call like ceiling gazing, like 10 minutes of just like laying on the carpet, just looking at your ceiling. Like, and that scared me because I was like, I don't think I've, at that point, like when I started thinking about this, I was like, I don't think I've taken like 10, 30 minutes of my day where I'm just laying there, not being stimulated on my phone or engaged in anything else. And like, that's like 10 minutes out of an entire day. That's like so little, but like the profound impact that that has. And that's basically like reading. It's meditative. It's like things like that. It's so important. And it can be reading, going for a walk or something like that. And like, not even like listening to music, just like sitting there and just like, you know, just observing.
I do that so often. I'll like drive or even go to the gym with no music, no podcast playing. And I think that's so important, just to become more just settled in your body and not needing constant stimulation.
Yeah.
Because there is magic to the silence, you know, that there's stimulation to the silence. I think it can be really, really therapeutic just to, and to talking about just like connecting with people. I highly suggest people going to the gym and not listening to music or having a podcast in. I guarantee you'll meet people. You'll start talking to people.
Yeah.
Like my dad was telling me that back in the, like, let's say the 80s, people used to like socialize. They used to meet their friends there and talk because they didn't have headphones in.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I never even thought about that. Like,
yeah.
Dang. That must have been way different. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I never thought about that. That's really cool. I mean, like, personally, I'm the type of like gym guy to go to the gym and just like not want to be bothered. So I'm like totally like anti having conversations in the gym, I'll be honest. But like, I never thought of like, just like, that even scares me, going to the gym without headphones. Like, if you go to the gym without headphones, I'm like, crap, like, can I even work out today? But like, maybe I should do that a few times, you know? Maybe I should
try it out,
experience that like discomfort, I guess, of not having music.
The discomfort is so important. I think my yoga teacher said, he said, find, because he was talking about yoga positions and like going into uncomfortable yoga positions. And he said, find the awkwardness or the awkwardness will find you. And I'm like, that's so true. Because in my life, like, let's say even joining that yoga class, right? I was incredibly hesitant because I was going by myself.
Yeah.
And I thought that's awkward. But I realized that I went anyways, you know, and I started meeting people. But 3 years ago, 4, 5 years ago, when I was in college, I definitely would not have gone to that yoga class by myself. And that was the point in my life where I was the most awkward, the most like self-conscious, because I never put myself into those situations. But the more you do it, you realize that they're not that bad. And so it's like, by seeking those, whenever you get that feeling, when you, if you lean into it, you'll notice that the feelings become less powerful, you know, or even like less prevalent.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I, we were talking about this before, like my Hawaii trip and like the discomfort I felt in staying in a hostel, or, or like, I know this weekend I want to try to do something where I go to Ann Arbor, and in the main part of campus and just like, do this like blanket hoodie campaign thing where I'm going to try to interview people. And I'm like, I was like, I thought about this yesterday and I'm like DMing people. I'm really scared. I'm feeling that feeling, but I'm like, okay, that means we have to do this. We're going to have to do this. I don't care. Like, we have to do this. And it's like, it's nerve wracking. I'm like, I don't want to go. Like, I was trying to like justify my brain, writing down all these things. Like, my heart was kind of racing a bit, like just thinking about this. And it seems so silly, but that's like my sign that I have to go do it, and we got to do it, and we're gonna go out there and give out some blanket hoodies and have fun. So,
and that's so, it's such a cool opportunity that you're in, and we've talked about this before, about taking the year off and now being able to go back onto campus, because it's such a unique opportunity in your life, because you're never gonna be able to meet as many people as you are in college. It's like, it's just such fertile ground for meeting people and connecting and just learning more about the world. I think it's such an exploratory time.
Yeah. And I'm like trying to, like, that's another thing. I'm like, I need to really grow this brand on campus and spread awareness and do some fun things and in collaboration with the university. And like, that's so uncomfortable for me. Like, it's, there's so much like conscious effort that has to like go, because I'm not like, right now I'm not on campus, I'm not like in it, you know what I mean? So it's like different, like, so like there's so much conscious effort that has to go into it. But I'm like, this makes sense, this will be so fun to be able to get like pop-ups and get local support and
like real world events is so cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I want to do something like that. Yeah, 100%. So I mean, yeah, have you ever thought about doing anything like that in New York? Or I guess you're in California, right? You're in California.
Yeah, so
right?
I moved out of New York literally right before COVID.
Okay.
Like a month before, like serendipitously, not even because of COVID. It was just randomly happened. And I started Pool House like 6 months before that. But yeah, I want to start doing like pop-up like yoga events. I've really been getting into yoga because I feel like it coincides with my message so much, because it's all about this balance between yin and yang. And that's always what I'm talking about in Pool House. Like, you can't have the good days without the bad days. And like with yoga, it's like you can't, you have to pay attention to all your muscles. You can't just be leaning on your leg, and you can't just be focused on strength. You got to be focused on flexibility.
Yeah.
And I just think it's such a therapeutic thing that I've been doing. And I really want to incorporate that into some kind of event for Pool House.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
Trying to figure it out, right? Yeah. Have you ever done yoga?
I've done it a few times. Nothing like crazy though, but yeah, I've always been interested in yoga. It seems fun. It seems like, yeah, it definitely seems like hard.
Yeah, it's it can be hard, but then it can just be incredibly meditative, for instance, I guess, depending on your teacher. So there's two people that I go to, and one of the people, I like them both a lot. One's more of a workout and one's more of a meditation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's like more like, it's more about like what he's talking to you about and how he like kind of recenters you and like about your problems, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it can go both ways. So, I don't know where I'm going with this, but yoga's cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. I have like, there's a yoga spot nearby, so I might try it. They do like the hot yoga. Like, I don't know if you heard it like this. I don't know how it is. Just it's like hot inside, or like it's like a sauna type vibe. I don't know, but there's a place nearby that does that. But like, I feel like going off of what you said about like you're getting really interested in yoga, so you want to do a yoga event. I think that is so important. It's like to genuinely create things based on like what you like, and people see that, and you can just do that. Like our next release for Keep Wholesome is like based on nature, and that's because of a road trip I had, and it actually genuinely helped my mental health. And I'm like, I want to promote this to more people. And when you create something like that from personal experience, and that's also a reason why you need to like not choke out the inspiration in your life. Like you have to go push yourself to try yoga. You have to go push yourself to go adventure or travel or like go around the block and just have a walk in the park. Like, because those things are only possible because of those small, minute like experiences that you might not think are crazy, but you could have a Pool House yoga event now because you randomly decide to go out to try yoga, and that could be like a cool thing. And who would have thought that would have been a result of that, but it's only because you took that step, right? That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah, it's so important to live your life, I think, especially it gives you stuff to talk about, you know, and to like relate with people, you know? I was like, what was I was like thinking about this one, I really like Neil Gaiman, and there was this one time where this young writer came up to him and he said, Neil, I just don't know what to write about. Like, I want to be a writer, but I have no ideas. And he's like, how old are you? And he's like, oh, I'm 17. He's like, okay, first of all, go live your life, you know, travel a little bit, you know, meet some people, and then come back in like 5-7 years. And then let me know if you still don't have anything to write about. And he actually met up with the kid, I think like 10 years later. And he's like,
you
gave me that advice. Yeah, you gave me that advice, and it was so right. Like, I ended up writing my first book like 7 years later.
after he had
life experiences, he went through breakups, he traveled to like Paris, and it was so funny. And it's like a reminder that you have to balance your life with like your work, because it's like, no matter if you're in art, no matter if you're in business, if you don't know what life is about, you won't be able to model, you won't be able to connect with anybody. And business and art, it's all about connecting with people. If you don't know what's going on in the world, how are you going to know what to make or build?
Yeah, I heard the first part of that quote before. I didn't hear the second part, so that just blew my mind. That is so cool. Like, I didn't know you actually met up. That's so awesome. I mean, I can't wait to be old, like, and just write about like everything. Like, that's like one of the things I can't wait to be, like, you know, like 60 years old or something like that, and just like write a book and have it for like my family or something like that. And
yeah,
just like be able to write about all the adventures and things like that. Like, that's definitely like end of the, like, top of the bucket list there, is like to get old and write a story, write a book.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to, like, have you ever gotten to like writing a book, or are you thinking about it, or like anything like that?
Yeah, I really want to write a book. So I guess the 5-year plan that I have is turning So I was at like a crossroad a year ago, whether it was, am I going to really put in the effort to turn? Because like I was making money through like other things before like turning Pool House into like an actual business. But I had to come to a crossroad. Was I going to try to be a writer, a full-time writer, or to turn Pool House into a real business? And what I realized is that I wanted to know what the world was like. I kind of felt like a professor who was just like in the classroom. And I wanted to like live life and know what it was in the business world, what people were really experiencing, because I noticed almost everything I was talking about was my time as a lawyer, because like that resonated with people and it resonated with me because it was a true story. And I need to like be living life and connecting with people. And so that was a big impetus for putting more effort into the business side of things, because I've noticed that it's given me a lot more stories to think and write about. So definitely, though, I want to write a book though in 5 years. That's one of my goals though.
The 5-year goal. Yeah, that's so awesome. And like, that's so funny that you say that, because like some of my favorite content I've seen from businesses has just been like behind the scenes of a business and like seeing how that's grown. And like, it's like, you're really not doing much, but like what you were already doing, but you're putting a camera down and recording it now. And it's so interesting. And it's not that much different. But yeah, I mean, that's really cool. I think like having you like writing a book and then having this audience and you can like self-publish or something like that. I'm not sure how that world works, but like that could be so awesome. And like, I know I have friends like, I don't know if you know Whitney Hansen or Donovan Beck, like, they're amazing and they're both poets, and like Whitney's done really well with her poetry book, and like Donovan's done well with his too. And it's just through like TikTok, they've been advertising their poetry and just like it's connected with people and they can create these amazing books. And I've always like thought that'd be so cool to write a book. But yeah, gotta live life first. Definitely. Gotta
right?
go on adventure.
Hey.
Like 10 years.
Gotta get your heart broken, right?
Yeah, exactly. Gotta see it all and do it all. And then maybe have a story in me.
Would you want to write a nonfiction book or a fiction? Because for me, I'm like torn. Like naturally, I'm inclined to like want to write a fiction book, but which one would you want to write?
I'd want to write a nonfiction book. I don't know about fiction. I feel like maybe eventually, but like at the very bottom, I want to make a nonfiction like biography about myself for like my grandchildren or something like that, you know, like to pass down.
It's so cool.
Yeah, I just want, I think that'd be so sick. But like to have that would be fun. And then when I was younger, I really loved writing fiction stuff, like just for fun. This was nothing serious, but I think it would be really cool as well. But I haven't read a lot of fiction in recently, so I'll have to read more. But I mean,
have you read The Little Prince?
No, I haven't. I feel
well,
like I've read
okay.
No,
that's going to change your outlook on fiction, I think, because like there's something nonfiction. Yeah, you learn things, but when it's set in a story, like when I think about the books that I would ever recommend to people, it's honestly, the fiction ones are the ones that stand out in my mind, like The Little Prince or The Stranger by Albert Camus. Like those books, they're just, it's so much more powerful when it's set into a story. Because I think we're social creatures, we're story creatures too.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we learn. We pass things down through stories.
I'm going to check that out for sure. I think like
The Little
for
Prince.
A while, I, yeah, I
it's
just
going to break your heart, by the way. It's going to break your heart.
No, trigger warning. Right? But like,
it's a children's book for adults.
Oh, it's one of those. Those are always sad. Like if you see like if you see something with like simple, like animation style for kid, but it's like for adults or something, you know, it's over. It's going to be sad. But, yeah, I'll check it out. That's really cool. I think, something like I've been wanting to read more fiction because I realized like all these nonfiction books, like I went down like the self-help book rabbit hole, like, you know, like Atomic Habits and stuff like that, and they helped a bit, but I realized like there's so much more inspiration you get creatively from reading fiction, like science fiction, fantasy books. And like you can, it's crazy because like how creativity works is like you could take something you read in a fantasy book from like 20 years ago and like apply it to your next YouTube video. Like it doesn't even make sense, but like you can do that. That's how it works. It's so, it's like so fluid through all mediums. And I think
and it
that's
trained
like,
your mind too.
Yeah. They do so
like,
much.
Imagine.
Yeah.
There was, I know I've quoted Neil Gaiman a lot in this podcast, mm-hmm. but there was this one time, his nonfiction book, the only one that he's like ever really written, I highly recommend that one too. I think it's called Tickets in the Bleachers or something like that. He only has like one nonfiction book, but in the book, yeah. he was talking about this conference that he got hired to speak at in China. And this okay. was a couple years ago. And he went out there and then he talked to the organizer. He accepted the invitation. And when he went out there, he was talking to the organizer and he said, I'm honestly confused why you invited me because you've never really been into fiction. You've always thought it as unnecessary, that it's not practical, that, oh, us fiction writers, we're wasting our time.
Yeah.
And the organizer said, you're right. For the longest time, we didn't think it was important. We thought it wasn't practical. But we started to interview people from Silicon Valley, the people who are creating these tech companies, because mm-hmm. we're building all these products, but you're coming up with all the ideas and we just couldn't find out why. And the one common denominator that we got with all these founders was that they all read fiction. And what they kept telling him was that because it allowed you to imagine a world that didn't exist yet and to like push boundaries and to train that muscle.
Yeah.
And like ever since I read that, I'm like, that's so true. It really does. It stimulates your imagination. It like your creativity. It inspires you to create things.
I never thought about it like that, but that makes so much sense. That's kind of like, that's so cool. I love having these conversations because like, it's crazy to me, like how you can take something in a book and apply it to your next like video or Instagram post and just like, that can be something you do, you know, like that, like just taking this conversation and applying it to something, or like taking a fiction book and like applying it to your business in like Silicon Valley. Like that shouldn't make sense, but it does. And, like what the heck, like taking a business and like saying that Apple was inspired from like Neil Gaiman, like or saying, you know, it just doesn't make sense, but it does. And that's so fun. I think that's so fun to always trace the like, the ripple effect of someone like going all the way down to like, and it might come from the most random place, but like this person inspired this and inspired this and inspired this, and it's all like so beautiful. So I love tracing that.
There's a lot of wonder out there that's hiding in places that we never thought it was there. So I think it's good to explore things.
But
it's been a great conversation though. It's been a while.
I'm loving it, and this is great.
We'll definitely have to do this again though sometime, bring you on for a part two.
Totally. Maybe I'll have you on when I figure out how to get people on, or if I want to have people on the podcast. That'll be like season two or something. Appreciate it so much. this is fun, man.
Do you have any projects coming out that people should be aware about? And then you had your nature hoodies?
So we have a Nature Heals release at Keeping It Wholesome on Instagram. We can't get at Keep It Wholesome. If someone can help us get at Keep It Wholesome, please let me know. It was active in 2020. I tried to DM him. But anyways, it's at Keeping It Wholesome. We have a collab release, a Nature Heals. It's about kind of promoting nature and as a way for you to kind of better your mental health. And it's something I'm really proud of. So we have that coming up. And besides that, not much. Got a podcast I do just on my own. It's called Voice Memos. And that's basically what I've been working on. A lot of video stuff, a lot of business stuff. And yeah, it's been a pleasure, man.
And I highly recommend everyone to check out Simon's podcast. It's great. And
appreciate it.
And I'll link all of his socials in the caption to this episode. But thank you for coming on, Simon. It's been a great time.
Yeah, likewise, man. Awesome. Thanks so much.